Deuteronomy chapter 33, look at verse number 26. The Bible says, "There is none like unto the God of Yeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." I'm interested this morning in that first phrase there in verse number 27, where the Bible said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." I want to preach this morning on this thought. We heard a lot about it March and April, sometimes even in May, about a shelter, having a shelter in place. I want to ask you this morning, is your shelter in place? Is your shelter in place? Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence this morning, and God, we are grateful. And God, indeed, very thankful for the opportunity that, Lord, you have afforded us to gather ourselves together as a body of believers, as this local assembly, God, that meets here at Hope in Dillsboro. And Lord, we're grateful that, God, you and your divine plan for our lives, God, ordained that we would meet together these days. And Father, I pray that, God, you would accomplish your purpose. God, that you'd have your will and your way in each one of our lives. Lord, I know that fear and panic have been really the buzzwords of the hour. And Lord, there's a lot of people that are greatly concerned about how things are going to play out. And God, what the ultimate end of this is all going to be. And Father, as we were reminded time and again in congregational singing and in the music by the trio, Father, we know that, God, farther along, we'll know all about it. Lord, I don't have to know it all. I just have to trust in the one who does. Lord, I'm grateful and thankful that, God, my hope is not in Washington. My hope is not in Indianapolis. Lord, my hope is not in the United Nations. God, my hope is in the one who controls it all. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to us from your word this morning. And God, give us what we need. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for we make this prayer in Jesus' name and we wrap it in expectation. Amen. You can be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know anything about the time frame that is playing out here in the text, the nation of Israel has been wandering now in the wilderness for 40 years. They are right on the threshold of entering into that promised land. It kind of seems like we're in that similar spot, are we not? We keep talking about that event that's going to be the next thing, I believe, on God's calendar, the rapture of the church. I used to think that I probably wouldn't be around to see that. Now I'm kind of rethinking that whole thing. Amen? I mean, you can see how that could happen in a very... I mean, who'd ever thought when we got into the 1st of January 2020... that we'd be 5 months without church. I don't know about y'all, I hadn't missed sports. But we found out, you know, isn't it amazing? We found out who's essential. Amen. You know, the grocery store worker, the cashier at the gas station, people that fix food at the restaurant. It just is amazing to me the things that we have dealt with in the last 4, 5, 6 months. And boy, it's been an eye-opener for a lot of God's people. It's been a revelation that God doesn't... Listen, I used to think that probably the way the end times would be ushered in is because there would be some kind of a conflict with an unstable dictator. I used to think it'd probably be that little fat guy with a bad haircut from North Korea. That is an atrocious haircut, is it not? And that's what I used to think, brother, but... all God's got to do is just send a little virus along that 100,000 of them can sit on the head of a pin. Amen. And it changes our way of living. And we have given up and we've relinquished personal freedoms and personal liberties. And I don't want to get on all that. But ladies and gentlemen, I do want you to understand that I believe we are on the threshold of the next big event on God's calendar. It may not happen in my lifetime. I kind of think it will. But I was thinking about this as I was reading this text because, you know, years ago, ladies and gentlemen, God's people had a burden to reach the lost wherever they were. We'd send missionaries forth from our country to a country where we knew that the health and sanitation wasn't up to what we were used to. They would go by faith. Let me say that again, because that's supposed to be the word that we live by. Faith. Again, let me just clarify. I'm not talking about licking doorknobs. Amen. I mean, I know we're close to Kentucky. That does sound like someplace in Kentucky. But that didn't sound like door. Oh, don't boo me. I can boo right back. Amen. It does. It sound like, I mean, listen, they got all kind of something lick Kentucky. Doorknob lick Kentucky sound like a place in Kentucky or West Virginia. But I'm just saying, listen, I'm not talking about doing stupid stuff. I'm talking about, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we used to trust God to take care of things. Now we have gotten so fearful and so trepidatious about everything. We don't shake hands. And I know people that have got immune compromise issues. I get that. Our daughter-in-law's got that. We try to be extremely careful if we're around them. And I'm not throwing down on anybody. I'm just saying. We have lost a lot in the last 5 months. Amen. And I got to thinking about this refuge. The Bible said eternal God is thy refuge. You see, ladies and gentlemen, with Him, you got a shelter in place. Listen, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I saw Miss Joyce. I saw her walk by the coach earlier this morning, and I came in, shook her hand. And of course, we're living in such a strange world. We don't know if we're shaking hands, we're bumping elbows, you know, we're blowing kisses. We don't know what we're doing. That sounded weird, didn't it? We don't know what we're doing. I said to Miss Joyce, "So we shaking hands?" She said, "Yes, sir. We sure are." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." She said, "Now, what's the worst that can happen to us? We go to heaven." And I said, "We're a winner either way." Listen, I'm not trying to be fatalistic, but I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, if you've got your faith and trust in the Lord, I mean, it only gets better from here. Man, I was thinking about that song they were singing about, "Up, Up and Away." I remember when I was a kid in Bible college, and man, we hear talk about the rapture. You don't hear that talk much about anymore. Well, there was a guy that was in the dormitories that was always talking about the rapture, always talking about the Lord coming back. Man, I mean, every time you had a conversation with him, that was a conversation. So you know how guys are in Bible college. They're somewhat mischievous. And so one night, he was working second shift, and he came in a little after midnight. One night, all the guys in the dormitory staged the whole dormitory, the hallway, everything, to look like the rapture had taken place. The moment you walked inside the dormitory door, there was a payphone. Y'all remember those? There was a payphone to the right. Had a little chair and a desk there, and they had a pair of sweatpants and a sweatshirt draped over the chair. The phone hanging down off the thing. He walked in. He looked at that. He looked down the hallway. There was, you know, gym shorts and a T-shirt and flip-flops. He went into a room, and there was, you know, somebody sitting at a desk, just the clothes. He heard water running in the bathroom. He ran in the bathroom. There was somebody there was evidence of somebody had been shaving. The razor was dropped on the sink. There was, shaving cream in the sink, pair of flip-flops on the floor, and a towel that had been wrapped around somebody on top of the flip-flops. He ran down to his room and opened the door, and one of his roommates always went to bed early. Man, he was in the bed, brother, and had the covers all fluffed up, the pillow all hollowed out. And all the guys were back in the back. There was a lounge in the back of the dormitory hall. They were all looking through the little window. And he came running out into the hallway. He couldn't have timed this better. He opened his Bible. He fell on his knees. He went through the Romans Road. He said, "I did that, I did that, I did that. You forgot me!" Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen, God's not going to forget anybody. Amen. I'm glad I know who my refuge is. Let me give you three things quickly this morning and then we'll be on our way. I want us to notice first of all the source of our refuge. Look at it. Verse 26, the Bible said, "There is none like unto the God of Yeshurun who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge." Can I say, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a powerful refuge. Amen. I'm telling you, the one that controls it all, the one that, separated the east from the west, the one that spoke this world into existence, he's the one that controls it all. You ever stop and consider, Brother Phil, really, literally, how powerless we are to change anything we're going through? And then you realize, y'all, that the one who controls it all cares about us, the likes of us, that he would be concerned, sis, about you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful to tell you how that the one who stepped out from nothing, on nothing, to nothing, with nothing, and spoke everything you and I see and experience into existence is the same God that is in control of everything today. He is not alarmed. He's not panicked. He's not fearful about what's going on with this virus. Everything is right on time and right in control. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I can sit back and enjoy the ride, or we can be fearful like sometimes my wife is when we're running down the road in the motor coach, but that doesn't change the fact that God's got it all under control. I'll be driving down the road and we'll be running down a stretch of highway and we've got semi-tractor trailers on either side. She's sitting over in the passenger seat. All of a sudden I'll see her put her hand up. I'm like, "Baby, if he decides to change lanes, that is not going to stop a thing. You can sit there and be nervous all you want to. But the bottom line is, I got to trust he's going to stay in his lane. I'm going to stay in my lane. That other truck's going to stay in his lane." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, we can trust God. He's going to stay in his lane. He's going to get us where we need to go. Let me say, not only, look at this. He said, the eternal God is, notice that next word, thy refuge. You see, ladies and gentlemen, not only is our God a powerful refuge, but did you notice that? He is a personal refuge. Man, aren't you glad we have got a personal God? Did you talk to him this morning? Did you get up out of bed this morning and find yourself in his word and said, "Lord, I need some help today. Oh, Lord, would you use the church service to speak to my heart? Would you use the music to minister to me? God, would you use the preaching to give me something that'll help me today and this week? Would you use the word of God to speak to me?" Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad. Hey, not only was he Moses' God, not only was he Joshua's God, not only was he Israel's God, but he's my God. Well, listen, I'm glad that eternal God is my refuge. That same God that created this world is our shelter in place. The word refuge is an interesting word. It means a habitation. It means a dwelling. Finally, it means a shelter. Let me just read you some verses here that word's contained in. Psalm 9, verse number 9. The Bible said, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Psalm 46:1, "Our God, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help." Did you hear that? A very present help. Not a far off distant help, but a very present help in trouble. Psalm 62, verse number 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Psalm 91, verse number 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." You see, ladies and gentlemen, I was thinking about that word refuge. And boy, my mind went to those cities of refuge that the Hebrews had. Six of them, three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other. If somebody found themselves in a hard place, they could run to that city of refuge, and they were safe as long as the high priest lived. You remember? You remember who our high priest is? I got to thinking about this. Listen, Jesus has no term limits. He can't be impeached. He'll never run for re-election. He won't resign, and he'll never die. Can I remind y'all, you are safe this morning if he is your refuge. Let me give you the next thing, though, quickly. Look at again, verse number 27. The Bible said, in the middle of that verse is underneath are the everlasting arms. I wanted you to notice, first of all, the source of our refuge, but I want you to notice, secondly and quickly, the security of our refuge. It's interesting when God uses terms that the big word that I'm going to use is anthropomorphic. I didn't say that to impress you, but that's when he uses human characteristics or human attributes to describe himself. There are verses in the Bible that talk about the face of God, talk about the hands of God, talk about the feet of God, talk about other attributes that he has that are human-like. You obviously know we're made in his image. But I want you to notice what the Bible said underneath are the everlasting arms. You ever thought about the arms of God? Notice where they are, y'all. They're underneath. Our youngest boy, he and his wife are getting ready to welcome their second child into the world here in just about a month and a half. And boy, one of the wonderful things about little children is watching them grow. Boy, they get to that place where they're crawling, and then they get to that place where they're standing and toddling. And boy, they begin to walk, brother, and they get unstable, and you reach your arms out, get your arms underneath their arms to keep them from to keep them from falling. Have you felt that way recently? You felt like the weight of the world is on you, and you can't seem to keep your balance. You can't seem to keep your feet underneath you and your head about you. Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen, his arms are underneath us because they will catch us. Well, I'm glad, hey, he makes provision for our failures. Oh, he knows we're dust. He knows we're going to get fearful. He knows when all these things are swirling around in the media and in the world that it's going to cause us concern. Ladies and gentlemen, underneath all that, underneath all our fears, underneath all our concerns, underneath all our failures, is the everlasting arms. That word literally, underneath, means beyond or beneath the bottom. Can I just say this? If you ever felt like you hit bottom, you didn't, because his arms caught you before you got there. Hey. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say not only will he catch us, but not only, look at that, he said, and underneath of the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. You see, those everlasting arms talk about beyond time and beyond space. Not only will he catch us, but can I say, secondly, he'll carry us. And aren't you glad for God who's big enough to carry your burdens, to carry your heartaches? Let me ask you a question this morning. When's the last time you really honestly went to him and said, Lord, these things are above my pay grade. Lord, I've got fears and concerns and sorrows and burdens that are way beyond the things I can handle. And Lord, I've been trying to carry all this myself, and my hands aren't near big enough. And my strength is not great enough. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that God, amen, that will give peace beyond all understanding is the same God that will carry you. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad for the songs that, amen, lyricists write. One of the lyrics of one of my favorite songs is, so let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Are you there this morning? Are you trusting in your own? Listen, your own strength will fail. Amen. You will wind up in a mess if you trust your own strength. But if you will trust the Lord, Let me give you the last thing quickly. Look at verse number 29. The Bible says, "Happy art thou, O Israel. And who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency?" Not only did we see the source of our refuge and the security of our refuge, but I want you to finally notice the sufficiency of our refuge. He's talking about the people saved by the Lord. That's me this morning. That happened to me May the 8th, 1977. And He became my refuge. And from that time, ladies and gentlemen, sure there have been times when I have struggled. Sure there have been times when I have failed. Sure there have been times when I have stubbed my toe and landed on my face. But ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you, He never one time has ever failed. He is all sufficient. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." You see, I said they're on the threshold of crossing into that promised land. And God had made preparation for them to enter. And God reminds them in these verses that if they will allow Him, He will fight their battles. Amen. He's let me fight a lot of my own. Amen. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people talk about my size, and I don't know if that's a compliment or a slam, and I'm just too simple to not figure that out. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not nearly as strong as I need to be to fight the battles that I have to face. My strength and my ability wanes in a real big hurry. But oh, listen, I'm glad that I've got someone who protects me that is greater than I'll ever be. Listen, as a child of God, we are part of a body that cannot be diseased. We're part of a building that cannot be destroyed, a bride that cannot be divorced, and a business that cannot be dissolved. Let me show you one last thing. Look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew." You know, we have seen things in the last 5 or 6 months that I've never seen in my lifetime. I'm 58. I'm not an old man. I'm certainly not a young man anymore. The only time I ever remember going to the store and seeing shelves empty was if there was some kind of a weather event and everybody just got everything and cleared everything out and they were not able to restock. Boy, that has become something that is almost normal anymore. Listen, I remember back in March and April, listen, you couldn't find toilet paper to save your life. Were y'all singing then? I was getting ready to tell them I'd take that for a love offering. I mean, there are some things that are deemed essential. That's one of them, amen? But I got to thinking about that. Listen, we've never in our lifetime, most of us in this room have never in our lifetime lived in a place where we didn't have the ability to get what we needed when we wanted it. But you know what I realize? God's not limited by a supply chain. Amen. Man, everything shut down. I had meetings start canceling. I'm sure you guys did too. And I'm sure y'all know this, but when an evangelist has meetings cancel, that means he doesn't have income that week. And I had 8 weeks cancel. Just bang, bang, bang. It was nobody's fault. Nobody was having church. We were, amen, you know, the term for the greater good was being used. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what we were going to do. I knew this. There's a verse in the book of Psalms, in chapter 37, verse number 25. This is what it says. David is speaking. He says, "I have been young and am now old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I, I'm not going to get on social media and ask folks to pray for us, because if you've been in church any length of time at all, you know what that means. They don't want prayer. They want an offering. That's code language for, you know, send us an offering while you're praying. And I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And can I just testify, and I'm done here, but God met our every need. I never had a bill that went unpaid. I never missed a meal. In fact, I gained a toddler during quarantine. I'll probably preach on that tonight. And because I'm still trying to get that toddler off. But I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be your refuge. You don't need to panic and don't need to be fearful. I understand, and do what you feel like is the wise and prudent thing. Amen. Wear a mask, wash your hands, be careful. But I don't know about you, I'm not made to social distance. That is just not in me. Amen. It's just not. Man, there's something about connection and something about fellowship. We've become kind of antisocial. And we started looking at each other as a threat instead of as a friend. The one good thing about the whole mask deal is if you're homely, might help you find a mate. Amen. So if there's an upside to the whole mask thing, amen, that'd be an upside. Amen. But in all seriousness, listen, I'm glad God knows what's going on. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I think the guys are going to come up and sing a song for invitation. I'm going to let them get ready. But while they're doing that, let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, if you would, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You see, the most important thing this morning is not whether you wear a mask and not whether you social distance and not whether you wash your hands and do all those things. The most important thing this morning is, do you know that the eternal God is your refuge? Do you know that heaven's going to be your home? And I wonder this morning, just before I pray, if there might be somebody, and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now that heaven would be my home. And I'm concerned enough about that I'd ask you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up and let me see it this morning? Anybody at all? Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. You won't be by yourself this morning, and we're not going to embarrass you. All I'll do is say thank you or God bless you. But if that's you, just slip your hand up. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for this one that raised their hand. And Father, I pray that before they leave this property today, that God, they would seek out the preacher or myself, Lord, Brother Gabbard or his son, somebody in this church that could take the word of God and show them how they could know, not hope, not wish, but know that heaven's going to be their home. Lord, I pray that you'd help us during this time of invitation. God, if we need to come to an altar and just thank you for being our refuge, help us to do that. God, whatever our need is, that's the extent of this invitation. And Father, we'll thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray.